Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, everybody, good morning. Might not be good for many that didn't wake up last night from yesterday and then for this morning. It is not a good morning for them, but it's a good morning for you because you're still in the land of the living. And you can make sure that whatever you do, each step you take, every word that you say, it is something that is going to do good and cause good to come into the lives of others. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today show. Our topic, we're going to switch wheels a little bit into the 2023 year. Many people are still struggling, and we're just maybe almost 3-4 weeks into what we're actually doing now. But many are marching into 2023, the zone of the unknown, without a plan, without a vision, without any guide or compass on what they're going to do minute by minute, let alone day by day. Here we are, another year, another month, another day. Some have even start with burial insurance. Some don't have that. Some are starting off with many having to read where the Los Angeles County buried over 1,600 in a public ceremony of those that obviously had no burial insurance, no funeral insurance, no relatives, no loved ones. Oh, my God. Well, we know there were once a baby in someone's arms, but look at what is going on. But I want you to listen in on how to make a difference in your life as per the Creator. And I want you to remember that a dollar and a kettle per week can go a long way to show you care and to show love in your heart. And I'm saying that because I'm putting out a shout for the Salvation Army. They're bringing the kettles back. So I know many will be happy to hang around the kettle zone of some of these youth stores, thrift shops is what they call them, and get anything that they have even thought about from these agencies. And they have some very good things. I'm living witness to that. But now, what about the zone of the unknown? How can we say many are marching into the zone of the unknown? Well, we have with us today, I call him Colonel, but we have William Harrison. Today I see we also have a very important lady on the line, Georgia Gregory. Colonel Harrison, welcome. Georgia Gregory, welcome. And all of you, welcome. What can we say, Colonel Harrison, about people that have no plan for tomorrow, no plan for the next 30 minutes? What can we say to help people get their vision together for this year? Because you can look out your windows, I always say, it really is nothing good. And someone just sent me a report where the Starbucks CEO said yesterday that if you support traditional marriage, don't buy my coffee. So it's a lot of controversy, I think, going on because I went over to my site and people are saying just everything, hatred for coffee, the CEO. And that's just one thing. All day long we're getting reports of negativity from those living in our world, some with a vision, some without. But we know those are lost when they don't have a guide, someone to lead them through life, and, of course, someone to make sure they're on the right path in life. Colonel Harrison, Dr. Harrison, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Coppertin, and listening audience. Doing great, doing great. All is well, and God, Jehovah, is still good in spite of the zone of the unknown.
Thank you very much for tuning in again. We're up to almost 72 episodes. Can you believe that? And I think there's only been one or two missed. But God bless you. Thank you for coming aboard. What can we say about people waking up with a bad attitude, piece of bacon on their plate, nothing to do, no vision, nothing to tell anyone to make their life a better place. I mean, what can we say about this unknown way of living that people are experiencing daily? No vision, no plan, nothing to help anyone else in life. What can we say about the attitude here of 2023?
That is a fatalistic attitude. That is a deteriorating attitude. That is a declining attitude. And any person that has that mindset, Dr. Capitano, listening audience, because as we look at the word unknown, it means to something that is not known or familiar. And things that are not known or familiar with, we know nothing about it. And we have questions about it. We have doubt about it. We have uncertainty about it. And so that carries me forward into the scripture in the Bible says, the people perish for lack of knowledge. So to overcome the unknown, the zone of the unknown, that which isn't known to us, God is known to us. Through the Bible, in the Bible, the contents of the Bible. God Jehovah, Psalm 83:18, God. And he is the one that knows all things. So if there are things that I like, I don't know, or I'm liking rather, that I don't know, then I seek sources that know the things that I don't know. And in my life, and this purview of my life, and this juncture in my life, and this age in my life, I'm seeking the true living God, whose name is Jehovah, God.
Oh, my God. Well, you're on the right track, and I know many also are willing to listen to anyone that has any kind of a vision or a plan for even their life and America. I got some information from a well-known university professor, and he was telling me a four-year degree is $90,000 a year there. So that tells you the wealth of the individuals that are enrolled in this particular university. But he said he stood up and told them that we need to throw all these old textbooks away and get one book and spend the next 4 years reading that. And, of course, he was talking about the Bible. So a lot of the parents sent bad letters there and tried to get him fired for saying that. That shows where we're at. From all of the empires, the Assyrian Empire, Medes Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the great Holy Roman Empire. I mean, we can go all the way through the history of man and see that one after another, they haven't found the answer. And when they don't find the answer, isn't it sad how when people are looking for vision and they don't seem to get that, they return to violence, they go to violence, they foment violence. Have you ever noticed that? People that say, oh, you know, well, you know, I don't know that, you know, I don't know where that came from, or I don't know how to understand that, they end up going into a violent rage. Now, this is scientific, but right now for the little man like you and I, Colonel Harrison, what kind of vision should we have? Here we are in 2023. They claim it might be World War III. We got these hypersonic missiles from China, Germany, Russia aimed at the United States. I mean, we could go to bed and not wake up to get out of our bed with all these things happening. What kind of vision should we have, Colonel Harrison? What should we be doing with our lives, knowing that the world is in the shape that it is in? Our families are involved. Our relatives are involved. What should we be doing?
We should have a vision of hope, Doc, of hope. Hope to do better than we do, and hope to live better than we live in. And not only us, but also those who have children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm reminded of the book of Jeremiah, who was a prophet in the old part of the Bible, Old Testament. Jeremiah said in 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." We should be thinking of peace. We should be thinking of love. We should be thinking of happiness. We should be thinking of joy. And those are attributes of the one who can teach us those things, that we can teach to others. and we learn those things through the true and living God. So this world teaches us principles that are contrary to the Creator. And so that's why the world is in the condition and the state that it's in. There are few, a remnant of us, though, have cleaved to the teachings of the oldest book called the Holy Bible, and these principles will stand forever.
Yes, they most certainly will stand forever, but we got a problem. We only have around 13% in the United States that even claim to believe in God anymore, that even claim that there's a one and a true God anymore, that go along with Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God. They're not going along with that. They're not opening up a Bible. They're not. There's over 300 translations of the Bible. Which one would I open up? So, you know what? It's telling me that there's an educational problem here.
Yes.
People are not being taught what they should be taught. How can I have a plan to serve God and I don't even know who he is? How can I have a plan to bring my family to God and I don't know what to say to them? You know why you don't know? You haven't been taught. And how come you haven't been taught? See, we have to go into all of that. They want to live their life, you know, just as it is. Oh, well, I'm happy. I'm not dead. I'm not on the way to the morgue. Hey, you don't know if you're not on the way to the morgue. But this is the philosophy of our day. So why should I plan for anything for tomorrow? Why should I talk about a vision? I don't care about a vision. I'm going out dancing Saturday night. I mean, this is the trend of what went on just before the fall of the Roman Empire. All they were interested in was going to different shows and activities with their families. You see these depictions in history books. They was laying on a sofa-like couch, a recliner, eating, having grapes all up in the air, over their mouths. All of what we see now going on in America, really, which typifies ancient Rome, is exactly what was going on then, identical. You want to know about the fall of America, turn their back on God, look at the fall of the Holy Roman Empire. And as you know, this was subjected teaching in high school, not senior high. Just go back and get a book. I Googled them. They have all kind of books about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, rise and fall of the American Empire. Now, Colonel Harrison, this brings me back to you. You wrote a book some time ago, and it was called The Solution and Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. Well, we certainly see it now. I know we chatted briefly this morning about it. We have too many people that are too liberal. Yeah, well, I was talking with someone this morning about the gentleman that got killed there. It was 5 black police. So all y'all, you can't start that talking you've been talking about the white man. And I used to tell them on the show, get off the white man's back. You know who you are. Get off of his back. You haven't done your job. You haven't done your job. Get off the white man's back. You know 400 years of slavery is not going to be done overnight. All you fools who want to blame the white man, well, then turn your TV off and see what God is doing. He's saying no man that walketh on the earth understandeth his ways. Jeremiah 10:23 says, no man walking on 2 feet can direct his own steps. So all y'all out there got something to say about the white man, I'm asking you to stop. And I'm not Caucasian. I'm asking you to stop. If you haven't been out there to try to help people running from police, standing around in trees trying to shoot at them, hey, I don't want to get into it, but you catch my drift. This is part of marching into 2023. 2023 just opened up without a vision, without a plan. And someone tells me, don't go out at night. Then I can say that too. You want to keep your life intact to do whatever you want to do? Then there's some things you've got to exercise. And I heard some say, well, you know, maybe you should tell them to go to church on the show. I'm not telling them that. I'm not telling them that. God are not of confusion, but of love and eternal life. I'm not telling them that. I'm advocating for anyone on this line that really want to help the world, get your Bible and get out on the sidewalk. Stand on the corner. You ain't got to say nothing. You're scared. You don't know nothing, but you know something about what you got under your shoulder blade. Go on out there and stand. I know some organizations come on in, but they have got to study first. They don't put them out there on the street. You know, I'm at a church where, you know, we're going to go out. No, you're not. Uh-uh. I don't care how long you sat up in here. There's a whole different world on the outside with you talking about a God that everyone hates. And that's part of the problem now. Nobody wants to look to that God. Colonel Harrison, how many ministers do you know that's outside? This is Saturday morning. I know you're on the show. You're exempt. How many minister friends do you have that's outside walking, knocking on doors or passing out some kind of brochure? I got to put something together, a brochure like that. Welcome to, and then the name of the church, and this is what you get. But I say, I can't do it if you're not going to do it. Because this pamphlet will help people direct their steps. You don't know how, but you will direct yourself just by listening to what the Word of God has to say, the Psalm 83:18, God. Colonel Harrison, how many do you know? You're a renowned minister back east. How many ministers is out there on the street?
I can't think of any this morning that might be out there knocking on doors that I know, but I can think of some that I'm aware of that are in meetings this morning, various meetings of different kinds. So your point is well taken, Dr. Carpentina. We got to kind of remove ourselves from the four walls of the church and get out in the community and knock on doors and teach people and tell people who God is, and such as the renowned Jehovah's Witnesses do, and just educate people and see where they are and help them and try and refer them to various places, resources they need. But first, we got to educate them and get the word to them so they'll know that there is a reason for them to have hope and not perish, and that hope is in God, Jehovah God.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I really like how you said it, because I was thinking, how are you going to bake a cake and you don't know how to do it? How are you going to go 100 feet underwater? And, oh, my God, first you got to know how to swim, then dive, then how to hold your breath. And that helps you to be able to sink. I mean, there's so many avenues that lead to the portals of education. But now we're talking about Christian spiritual education. Let me ask you this, Colonel Harrison, your book that you wrote, does your book contain any solutions to what we see going on today now in the way of violence and crime and especially domestic violence and a general turning away from God? A general saying, I don't need God. I don't want him. In fact, I don't even know who he is. Can you give us some backdrop on this?
Yes, Doc. The book contains solutions, and the solution, there's numerous of them, but one that comes to mind, one of the simplest solutions, is for police officers to meet with residents of the community and the civic leaders and meet with the local politicians and the business community and meet with them at a neutral place. Sometimes you can have it at the police station, but sometimes it's best to have the meeting at a neutral place where the police officer go and meet with them, hear what the people's problems are going on in their neighborhood, hear what their concerns are, and talk to them about solutions to their problems. And once they get to know me, I interact with them personally, and they interact with me for an example. They become comfortable and develop a relationship and confidence, and we develop a rapport where we can talk to each other. And so that's what is missing, the community-based element where police officers go out into the community to get to know the citizens and their children and the business merchants. So when something happens, they can get support, that they'll tell them sometimes who did this, who did that, so forth and so on. So the police is the community, and the community is the police. and the police live in the community. So we have police has returned to the community and use the community as a resource and respect them as such, and they will help the police also do a job, keep their community safe, and also keep the officers and others safe.
Yeah, that sounds very good. But if we look back to the 1800s when the police forces were developed, that was not their job. If you go back, and I'm saying this because there was a well-known spokesman on TV that was not in this latest confrontation with these five officers, and they were saying something like what you were saying. I agree with most of that. But he said that's not the job of law enforcement. He said, and he took him all the way back. I said, oh, my God, he was a scholar. Now, he was a cop because he had this uniform on. But he said, now, I want all y'all to know. And some of them that were standing there, they actually did agree, which is very rare. That's not, he was saying what, and I can't go into it because our time is limited. But you might want to study. We have a museum here. Museum of Police History something, and I don't know if it's even open anymore, but I got something maybe a few months ago. But all y'all talking about the police hating them and you don't like what they do, go back, and if you can read, because most people that can read want to know what's going on before they start talking, but read the history of law enforcement in America. And whatever the people were calling for, that's not their job. The cops said, we're not babysitters. We have to go and put our, every time, he said, I put this uniform on. I tell my wife I may not make it back because people tend to feel that somebody owed them something. Same as the fall of the Roman Empire. They have the centurions there. You guys are sitting with that big old thing on their head, that feathers, and they got all that, what is it? They had that body armor on. Why back then did law enforcement need body armor? We got to know what these people are for. If I'm a baker, I'm not going to run out to the dog catcher and get involved because I'm not a dog catcher. If I'm a seamstress, I'm not going to run out to the auto manufacturer maker and get in his business. I'm going to recognize him for what he's about, and I hope he recognizes me. But we know there's a sinister a spirit that is doing nothing but keeping up chaos in the world. Go back 100 years. You didn't see this, but I'm going to tell you something. When you start talking about law enforcement, you'll cry if you go back and read what their real job is. They, like I just said, they're not going to babysit nobody and stand around in no uniform with a big gun on and try to teach somebody how to read. That's not their job. That's not their job. Their job is to keep law and order. Look on the police car and see what time of day it is. My father used to say, you are my daughter. But he said, you won't find me on the side of the righteous. Now, who is the righteous? I know if I put a cop uniform on, you know, I'm just going to tell it like it is. It better be some kind of fortation of law and order around me because I'm not going out here to play. I'm not going out here to lick no tail of anybody. Get out the street. Is that a gun you have? I tell you what, all y'all. I look at this every night because of the profession I'm in, 48 hours. That's the name of it. They got 48 hours to catch the criminal. It comes on with the clock, 48 hours. And they have three or four episodes in just one episode of who they're going after, who did this and this. Oh, my God. And this police officer, I'm going to get all that said, everybody's lying. Say, you ask them, did they do it? Were you there? Do you know who? Everybody's lying, and I can't tell you the rest of what it was, but I was almost crying for them. These people don't get up for that measly check they get, and I'm saying that because our organization, International Platform for Peace and CAG, is part of the LAPD. They are having all kind of events coming up, and if you're interested and listening or going on Zoom every week. The LAPD, they have the cops address what's going on in the area. Then they talk about who's new on the force. Then they talk about some horrendous crime. If you're interested, let me know, and I'll send you that. You can get on Zoom, or you can listen on phone. But Dawson has done a great job, and he's in one of the worst areas in this city. But I want to tell you, we got to support people who's trying to do the right thing. This thing called cops and police, let the ignorant go back and study the history of law enforcement in America. Maybe, just maybe, we can go into 2023, even toward an end, with a better understanding of how you are to conduct yourself. You learn elementary, how to conduct yourself. You done heard from grandma, thou shalt not kill, so what are you running around with a gun? What are you doing? Hey, now, somebody help me over here. But Colonel Harrison, you made a very good point. But now, are law-abiding people, are they interested in being protected and served? I don't care how much money someone would pay me. I'm not going to go against law and order. And I think this is what we see. They're talking about people protesting here in L.A., hungry, broke, sleeping on somebody's couch. Nothing to do. Nothing to do. Get the story straight. What happened and how did it happen? But now, one thing about it. Black folk, you can't blame the white man. I know some people hate him. I should hate him. I was born in a time where black people couldn't even go in a bathroom, couldn't drink from a faucet, a colored white folk only, and couldn't go in restaurants. Look how far we come. But there's a force in this world that don't want you with a vision, don't want you with a plan. Just get up, eat, lie, lay back down. Right now, the International Platform for Peace is the contributor to Colonel Harrison's book. Tell us a little bit about your book, Colonel Harrison. How can we order that book? What does the book say? It surely is the eye-opener, because guess what, you guys? Colonel Harrison will tell you, it goes back to, I think, 1827. Figure out why law enforcement had to come into operation in the first place. What was going on then? That they had to form a group of men in a uniform and to wear a gun on their side. What was happening then? It's 30 timers. Colonel Harrison, talk to us about your book.
Yes, the title, Doc, thank you, is The Answer to Silver and Threat in the Land. And it has examples in there of previous incidents of civil arrests going back to the 60s and beyond. Going back beyond that, the late Dr. Martin Luther King and some of the other earlier civil rights leaders, it talks about what brought the people together and the police department together, what they were able to identify, how they were able to come into an agreement on the same page. And even during when crime was high, during the 60s, and I was in law enforcement then, it was turbulent, and murders were high, robbery was high, tensions were high, civil rights marches for citizens' rights, people of color and Latino descent, so forth, was high. So this book covers from soup to nuts, and it can be ordered via Amazon.com. The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land, and it'll bless community leaders, it'll bless families, it'll bless politicians, and certainly it'll bless law enforcement officers and give them some principles and guidelines on how they can approach community leaders and reunite.